In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Easter keeps popping up all over the place. And it happens again today as well. In fact, it happens every Lord's Day. Every Sunday, a little Easter celebration. Every Sunday, a proclamation of our Lord's death and resurrection until he comes. Jesus is like that. He's always showing up, always around. I guess that shouldn't surprise us. After all, he's the one who said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the close of the age." He must have meant it. Last Sunday, we heard how he just appeared, revealed himself two times in the room where the disciples were. There in that locked room, Jesus unlocked the disciples from their guilt and fear and even from death itself when he spoke those forgiveness words into their ears. "Peace be with you." Then he flashed his wounds to prove the truth of it, that the holy, perfect, almighty God is just that, at peace with you through the cross work of Jesus. At peace, not because you did anything, not because you have been so good at putting your sinful self to death, but because God became one of us in the person of Jesus Christ and then went to the cross to an ugly death as our substitute, where one Good Friday afternoon God poured out the depth of his wrath on himself so that he would never have to pour it out on you. That's why God is at peace with you. And to that, Thomas is moved to confess, "My Lord and my God." No other God promises to save us like this God. Well, again, today, the Lord pops in, this time by the Sea of Galilee. You almost get the idea he's always around, everywhere, even with his resurrected body. And by that, I mean the same body that died on the cross, wounds and all. Peter, Nathanael, Thomas, James, John, and a couple of other disciples had been out fishing all night. Peter had invited them down to the boat. St. John has convinced me. Ever since Peter was first called to be a disciple, Peter always holds on to the boat. And so will I, because it's biblical. I'm convinced. Well, this night, Peter invited his old fishing buddies out on the Galilean Sea to do some fishing. Now, I know nothing about fishing, either here or on the Sea of Galilee. I don't know whether it's true here, but apparently nighttime was the best time for fishing there. But by telling us that it was night, John's not just giving us fishing instructions. Night means darkness. Darkness means dread. It's scary out on the chaotic sea in the dread dark of night. Night and darkness are big in the Gospel of John. Nicodemus snuck over to see Jesus at night. It was on the night when he was betrayed that he took bread. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb on the first day of the week while it was still dark. Night and darkness. All that darkness goes well with unbelief and confusion. Peter, Nathanael, Thomas, James, John, and the other disciples were in the dark, dread night of their souls. They fished all night and didn't catch a thing. But at the break of day, at dawn, as the light began to rise in the sky, the light of the world could be seen on the beach. In him there is no darkness at all, but they're in the dark, and so they don't recognize him. He cries out, "Hey, children, guys, do you have any fish?" And they shrug their shoulders and say, "No." "Try the right side of the boat and you'll find some." They give it a try and they catch more than just some. When they did, they were not able to haul the net in because of the quantity of fish. Well, John remembered the last time Jesus did that, there on that very same sea when Jesus had called them to be disciples. John said, "Peter, it's the Lord." And Peter throws on a shirt, leaps into the water, leaving the other guys to tend the net and tow the huge catch of fish in while he swims to shore to see Jesus. And what a miracle that is. And in that miracle, Jesus reveals again who he is. When they get to the beach, there's Jesus. A fire's going. Bread and fish are on it. "Bring some of those fish you caught." They'd caught plenty. 153 big ones. Nothing special about the number. It's just that there were a lot of fish. So many, they actually took note of it. "Breakfast's on me," Jesus says to them. But then, it always is, isn't it? Lunch and dinner, too. "He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life." They all know it's Jesus. Who else could it be? Other than Pixar films, who else can order fish around like that? This is the third time the Lord Jesus came to them after the resurrection. Nice fishing story. But why? What's the big deal for us? Well, first, this is proof that Jesus really did rise from the dead. It's a fact, Pastor Rohde pointed out on Easter Sunday morning. He's the same Jesus who died on the cross for them and for us. His tomb is empty, his body raised, not some phantom spirit or ghost Jesus. Ghosts don't have feet. But Jesus did. Mary could touch his feet. This is the real flesh and blood Jesus. And that makes all the difference in the world. Jesus just spiritually raised from the dead means nothing. "Show me he's risen. Prove it." Well, what kind of answer is this? "You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart." What terrible lyrics the liberals put out. No wonder so many people don't believe in the resurrection. They don't feel him in their heart. And so he must not be alive, or at least he's not alive for them. But a Jesus who's raised bodily from the grave, that means something. He's conquered death. Prove it. Okay, put your finger here and put it in my hands. Put your hand here and place it into my side. Even death has no power over him. Now, of course, you can't do that. You're 2,000 years too late. But Thomas did, and others recorded it. And if they'd been recording a lie, then others would have quickly countered it. You didn't witness Abraham Lincoln's assassination either, or George Washington crossing the Delaware. But others witnessed it and recorded the information. And if they'd been recording a lie, others would have quickly countered it. It is as the psalmist writes, "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." All religions don't worship the same God. We worship a God who physically died and bodily rose from the dead. No other God's done that. In fact, it's scandalous, outrageous. No other God but Jesus has done that for you. The risen Lord Jesus does make all the difference. He's the Lamb who is worthy to take the scroll and open its seals. For he was slain, and by his blood he ransomed people of God from every tribe and language and people and nation. He's the Lamb who was slain, whose victorious conquering of death tells us he's worthy to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. From eternity, he's always been worthy. The resurrection just points that out to us. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen. The resurrection makes all the difference. And this miraculous catch of fish is just another proof that Jesus rose from the dead. This miracle taught the disciples and teaches us here at Faith to cling only to Christ and his word. Apart from Jesus, we are nothing. We can labor long hours well into the night. We can cast our nets here and there. We can do all sorts of remodeling jobs and add all sorts of programs. But without the Lord and his word, his baptism, his supper, his absolution, without his real flesh and blood in our midst, our nets will actually be empty every time. There's a strong whiff of the Lord's Supper in this story. Now, bread and fish are not the Lord's Supper. This was not the Lord's Supper. But this meal points strongly in that direction, just as every meal with Jesus in the New Testament causes us to say something about the Lord's Supper. The risen Christ meets with his disciples in a meal. He's in table fellowship with them. He eats with them. He feeds them. He died and rose to have communion with them and with us, now and forever. Jesus was in charge. Always is. He invited them to the breakfast that he had prepared. Their work was nothing. He had the fire going with fish and bread on it long before they hauled in that catch. It's all gift, all grace, every time. Maybe it is. Maybe it is that although the sun has come up this morning, and you're here, and you're smiling, still, you're in the dark night of your soul. Maybe it is that anxiety has you shivering in the darkness. Maybe it is that the chaos of the night has you fearful of what's coming next. Maybe it is that the winds of your depressing sin are blowing you further and further offshore, and you're powerless to battle that offshore breeze. Maybe it is that your hope is lost, and whatever has promised you help has disappeared. And that which you counted on for security just isn't measuring up anymore. And the darkness, well, it's all but won the day. In those dark nights of your soul, look to the beach. Come here. Here, all our struggles and our failures and our torn lives and our empty nets are gathered in the presence of the risen Christ. At this pulpit and this altar, recognize who it is who's come for you. It is the Lord. Even in the middle of dark nights, He keeps popping up to disciples in a locked room in Jerusalem, to seven on the shore of Galilee's sea, to Saul on the Damascus road, to John on the island of Patmos, and to you in your baptism, and in His words of forgiveness, and under bread and wine. Morning breaks and Jesus meets us. Every Sunday, a little Easter celebration. It is the Lord. Every Lord's Day, a proclamation of our Lord's death and resurrection until He appears again in glory. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let us rise to confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed.